after these three few words, we will have the act of reverence to the relic of the true cross, and then Holy Communion. It helps you to know the order of events with regard to the conviction and crucifixion of our Lord. The evangelists record different things, and it is for us to know how the various events are meshed together. The better we know these things, the better we can live into our Lord's passion. We presume that our Lord's arrest was between 11 and 12 at night, that he was taken first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas and who was the main schemer in all these things. Annas was the most powerful figure among the Jews, although he had no actual power. That is, it was Caiaphas who was the high priest. Caiaphas had already been the high priest for 17 years. That means re-elected every year. Our Lord was first taken to Annas and then sent to Caiaphas, and Caiaphas had gathered a number of dependable people who were members of the Sanhedrin. Remember that the Sanhedrin numbered 70 people, but only a minority of these were present that night. They had been gotten out of bed, possibly, or had been kept around the temple area waiting for the arrest and for Christ to be brought in. The purpose of this first tribunal was simply to hear the evidence and to reach some kind of conclusion on the evidence. It helps you to know that this was all illegal. The Jews had a very refined legal code, and it forbade any kinds of meetings under the cloak of darkness. Our Lord was convicted early in the morning of Good Friday, and then there were several hours before he was sentenced. The sentence could be given only after the sun began to show itself. And you will read that during the hours that they were waiting for this sentencing, our Lord was the butt of the jokes and the ridicule and the derision of these temple hangers-on. They had to do something with him, and they simply amused themselves by blaspheming and brutalizing him. Early in the morning, that same group gathered, and the high priest pronounced sentence. He was immediately taken to Pilate. Pilate had been told that a prisoner would be brought, and that they would want a conviction and a sentence of death. And the agreement had been made, but when Pilate saw Christ and asked him a few questions, he realized that it was not the kind of person whom he expected. he thought he would encounter some kind of ruffian, some kind of troublemaker, someone whom he could sentence to death without any problem. But Jesus was not that kind of person, of course, as you know. And then he came back to the Jewish leaders and said something that they did not expect. I find no cause in this man. Take him therefore yourselves and judge him. The reason why they did not want this to happen is because they wanted a conviction of death which they could not impose. And further, they did not want to be blamed for his death. They wanted what they have since always accused, that the Romans put Christ to death. And they said, according to our law, according to the rules that the Romans have imposed upon us, we cannot inflict the capital punishment. And, of course, Pilate wants to know, well, what has he done? Why does he deserve to be put to death? And you will notice that the first accusations are political. They want to accuse him of being a seditionist. And they mention that he has started his sedition in Galilee and then come into Judea. At the mention of Galilee, Pilate thinks that he can evade the issue by sending him to Herod, because Herod has jurisdiction always under the control of the Romans and under the control of the emperor. Herod has jurisdiction in Galilee, and Herod is in town for the feast. We're talking about the son of Herod the Great, whose name, I think, is Herod Agrippa. And when our Lord is taken into the presence of Herod, Herod hopes to see some kind of miracle from him. He regards the whole thing as something of a lark. He is not going to become involved, but he does have some kind of amusement out of Christ. And the evangelists say that our Lord did not speak as much as a single word to Herod. And the evangelist says that Pilate sending Christ to him pleases Herod, and he takes it as an act of reconciliation. And he puts a splendid robe over the shoulders of Christ and sends him back to Pilate. This is his way of making a gift to Pilate. But Pilate, once Christ has been brought back, is again confronted with the problem. You have to keep in mind that justice in this circumstance is not like American justice, which has turned into a total farce. Even though the emperor did as he pleased, the Roman system was strict and it was generally just. They did not murder their subjects without any regard to the law. Pilate says that he finds no cause in this man, and therefore he will release him. As he says, I will first chastise him and release him. And that chastisement, you know, is a horrible thing. We read of it in very few words. We don't read of the terrible flagellation that our Lord received, which often caused the man's death who received it. After the flagellation, there is a time of waiting during which the Roman cohort, which numbers several hundred soldiers, and they are in great number in town at present because the procurator, who is usually not in Jerusalem, is there, and because there is a feast. Pilate usually comes into the city for the Passover with a great throng of soldiers, lest there be trouble among the Jews. Pilate, after summoning Christ again into his presence, tries another way of getting out of it. He takes Christ before the crowd, before he has been meeting with the Jewish leaders. And he takes Christ before the crowd, hoping to elicit some kind of pity from them. And he shows Christ to them in his now terrible condition. Having been flogged, he is covered with blood. He has a crown of thorns on his head. He has a purple robe over his shoulders, which suggests kingship and the ruling class. He has a reed in his hand, which suggests the scepter of a king. And he says to them, "Behold your king," hoping that they will show some mercy. And the Roman leader, or the Jewish leaders, have even anticipated this kind of thing, and they have had their hangers-on circulate among the crowd with wine and money and told them to shout for his death. Crucify him. They even specify the kind of death that they want. And in the course of all this exchange, someone says that he deserves to die because he has made himself the Son of God. Well, that expression catches Pilate's attention. They had not said anything about Christ being the Son of God. They had said he was a seditionist. And St. John describes the conversation that takes place again. Pilate takes Christ into his private chambers and asks him about this. Where